anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, adopted daughter of the House of Martok, holder of the Holy Grail of Monty Python, heir to the hitherto unknown 21st Ring of Power, and I am an anomaly. Who are you?
And my name is Angela, daughter of the 6th House of Texas, the holder of the sacred beer mug of my mother's, and heir to the holy boots and table saw of the Lone Star Cattle Ranch, and I am an anomaly.
I knew we were going to do the same thing. I love it.
That was awesome.
Well, welcome, people.
Like, there was not really any other way we could introduce this
episode. Absolutely not.
That's awesome.
All right. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
For this special Mother's Day episode, as you might imagine, we are covering Roxana Troi.
Mm-hmm.
The mother of Counselor Troi in Star Trek The Next Generation series.
Portrayed by the incomparable Majel Barrett.
Absolutely, the First Lady of Star Trek.
The First Lady of Star Trek, yes. And did you hear that before she passed away, they recorded her series style?
Yes, I did.
Yes, she put down a bunch of recordings so that her voice could be used as the computer basically as long as they wanted to. So I think that's really, really cool. She's a very interesting woman in and of herself, but of course also as Roxana.
Did you know, and this makes perfect sense, that she was trained in comedy by Lucille Ball?
That's awesome!
Isn't it? Lucille Ball had several television shows, and Majel Barrett was in one of them. I don't know for how long, but I...
Also, she was the original first officer.
Yes.
In the original pilot.
In the pilot episode.
Yeah.
And you know why? I read that the reason the executives didn't like that she was the first officer, other than the fact that she was a woman.
Yeah.
That's a given. It was because Gene Roddenberry was having an affair with her at the time, and they didn't like that the creator of Star Trek had given his girlfriend this role.
Oh, but yeah. She's so awesome in it.
She was perfect.
Hmm.
Anyway, that was a little nugget I dug up somewhere.
That's
on
interesting,
the interwebs.
And I believe it. I mean, that makes sense.
But at least she got to be in, you know, other roles throughout the series. So in the end, she kind of got to flip off the executives because she was throughout the series. You know?
Oh, yeah. She's kind of the most...
All series.
Yeah. She's very prolific in the entire series, so that's great.
You probably know she played Nurse Chapel.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, everybody does. And in the animated series and everything else.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's awesome.
Where do we begin? We used to have a show on our feed if you're new to Anomaly. We had a little sister show called Anomaly Supplemental. When they first started out, they were going to complement our show by doing like character analysis every time we did like a Star Trek episode review. And they did a Data character analysis. And so that's kind of our template for this. Not necessarily doing it the same way, but that's what we want to do is just cover the character of Roxana Troi, how her character developed over time and how she kind of impacted the crew of the Enterprise and later on Deep Space Nine. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy the way her character grew from the first time we saw her as this cougar in space.
She's like man hungry. No, what I liked though is I kind of liked her coming in because you have this, and especially when it comes to TNG, you have this general air of seriousness. You know, they're not getting into fights like Kirk and his team were. It's all about structure and honor and
diplomacy.
Everything is diplomacy, and everything is very serious. And so I love that she kind of comes in and mixes stuff up. You know, whenever she's around, everybody's kind of off their game. And it's great because they everyone plays it so hilariously.
She breaks the ice.
She breaks the ice. And I love how the characters and the actors, of course, like respond to it. And of course, Troy is just mortified by the entire thing, like almost every time.
Yeah.
But I do like how she was able to kind of break in and say, and you know, she just didn't follow any rules. And I kind of like that.
That pretty much sums her up. She was a rule breaker. She didn't like rules.
No.
Yeah, I love the way she put Captain Picard on a different plane. You know, he was playing defense whenever she was around. He was totally off kilter because she was always making advances towards him. And Troy hints at the fact that her mom was joking whenever she would say, Captain Picard.
Yeah.
She was always saying things like that.
Right.
At the most inappropriate times, because she was a Betazoid and able to read thoughts and communicate telepathically. So she made it seem like Captain Picard was always having dirty thoughts about her.
Yes.
And she would say it in front of everybody. And I love the way they would just kind of arch an eyebrow and look at him. Like,
yeah.
It was very uncomfortable.
I also thought it was interesting because I think the episode specifically you're talking about is The Phase. That's the one that I watched today.
The Phase? I don't remember that one being an episode.
Well, it's not the episode. It's talking about the phase of, not the name of the episode, but it's her menopause or whatever she's going through.
Yeah. Was it Manhunt? That episode where she's looking for a husband.
Yes, and she's man hungry. There you go. So anyway, she's looking for a husband for herself, and her sex drive is all crazy, and she's going after Picard. And that one in particular, she's very overt with him.
Yeah.
And then what I think is interesting though is that it's a season two episode, so it's a Pulaski episode.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I think that if Crusher is anywhere on the ship, Picard's not thinking about anyone else. In my opinion.
Right, yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
In your world.
In my world, that's how it works.
Mine too.
But also, it's horrifying and cute in that particular episode when she goes after Riker.
Yes.
And Deanna is, and Counselor Troy is like, oh my gosh, like, that's like my man, dude. Like, stay away. Get your claws off him. Like,
that
seriously.
Hilarious.
The look on her face when she goes after Riker, the look on Troy's face is priceless. Her eyes get real big and it's like, uh-uh. No way, Jose. Read this.
I know. How difficult would it be? I'm sure.
I can't even imagine.
There are women out there probably who have had to compete.
For men with their mothers?
I'm sure it's somewhere in this world that has happened, but it has never been a case with my mom.
Yeah, I've never had that experience
either. She has her boundary. She's a little like Roxanna in a way in that she doesn't have a filter.
Well, I mean,
she'll kind of say what she feels like saying. I mean, she's completely different than your mom.
My mom has anything except for she has dark hair that she permed to its death in the 80s is the only thing that I think she has in common with Roxanna. Otherwise, no, because my mom is very prim and proper. She's prim and proper, but she's also kind of got a devilish sense of humor, my mother. So I guess that would be the thing that she would have in common is my mom is quiet, but the things that she finds funny and the things that she will say sometimes when no one else is listening
is pretty
hilarious. And she cracks me up constantly. So, I mean, you know, I guess there's a little bit of Roxanna in all of us.
Oh, yeah. Probably so.
And I would hope so.
The first episode that she was in, it's kind of one of my least favorite Counselor Troy episodes. It's called Haven. It's where she had to have, there was an arranged marriage.
Yes.
Between her and this guy named Wyatt Miller, who's a doctor artist.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that she was going to be a specific woman that he'd been drawing since childhood. And it ended up being that she was not that person.
Mm-hmm.
That one is just kind of like, I don't like that one. Because Riker, he's been around her the whole time, but he has no interest in her because he's got his career on his mind, which makes me not like him as much as most people. I always have that against him, you know, that he put his career first. That's probably why I don't like it as much. But she kind of comes off as the embarrassing mom at your wedding. You know, we're going to observe our cultural traditions, not yours. And the bride and the groom will be naked, and that's that. And that's the introduction that we get to Counselor Troy's mom. But then over the seasons, like we were saying, her character develops. You find out that this, you know, overtly aggressive person who's just very bold in what she says and the way she dresses and the way she just throws her title around is kind of a facade.
Yes.
Because on the inside, she's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she acts is kind of a way to hide that. I don't know if you remember the episode Dark Page.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one where she goes into a coma because she's hiding these very traumatic experiences that she had when Deanna's older sister, Kestra. Mm-hmm. You find out that Deanna had a sister.
Yes, okay. I remember that.
And Kestra died as a child. And Roxana always blamed herself. And so she pushed those emotions down inside of herself. This diplomatic mission she was on where she had to communicate with these aliens who were also telepathic, but they communicated with pictures instead of words. It kind of brought that to the surface. And she kind of had like a mental breakdown and fell into a coma. And Deanna had to be linked with her telepathically with the help of one of these aliens and look for her mother in her own mind. And that was such a good episode, I thought. I love the ending, too. Definitely watch that one. That's a very good one. Dark Page.
That is good. I do remember that one for sure.
I know you hate Alexander. Not necessarily character, the actor, the little actor who plays Alexander Rozhenko, Worf's son. But I liked Cost of Living, too, where Roxana, she's getting married to this guy. He's like the third minister of some planet. His name's Campo. Uh-huh. And he's so, like, rule-bound and has to observe all these different customs and everything just right. And they almost seem, like, overly religious and stifling. She spends a lot of time with Alexander and, you know, teaches him how to enjoy life and how important it is to go have fun. Yes. And yet she was marrying this dude
who was
the complete opposite of that. I thought that was a good episode too.
Yeah, that is a very good episode.
Do you remember Menage a Troi?
With the Ferengi?
Yes.
Yes. I do remember that, and it's very scary.
It is. It's kind of scary in an icky way.
It's icky.
But I love how Picard, and you see all those memes with Picard with his hand out raised, and they always have some different internet saying on it that has nothing to do with that scene. That's where it's from. It's from Menage a Troi, where Picard is dramatically reciting Shakespeare sonnets to rescue her from this Ferengi, which she was giving him umox.
It's okay. It's cool.
You don't want me to describe the umox?
No, really. I have the picture in my head, and I think everybody who has the picture in their head don't need.
But the funny thing is, she didn't realize that's what she was doing. Nah. The ear is the erogenous zone on Ferengis. If you're not familiar with Star Trek, she was stroking his ear. Turned him on.
Sweet. That's what I needed in my life is I needed to know how to
remember that.
I know exactly. Like, you didn't even have to tell me. I knew exactly. I can picture it in my head and I'm good. Oh, man.
What about her costuming? I thought of you. I watched all of the episodes.
About that, and I was just like, I'm so excited that I'm going to have like cosplay until like whenever. I'm going to have cosplay
when
forever.
When you're in your 60s.
Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah, it's so amazing. And what's the deal with her friend, her valet?
Mr. Holm?
Yeah. What's the deal with Holm? Tell me about him.
Well, all we know really is that he doesn't talk a lot and he's super strong. And in that one episode where everyone thought he was mute. And he thanked everyone for the drinks, and everyone's kind of like, what? He talks? I remember that.
Apparently
she had another valet before him when Deanna was little who tried to train the accent that Deanna has out of her. Because you find out, I think, in Haven that the accent Deanna has, which is like this thing she created to kind of hide her Cockney accent that she naturally has.
Yes.
She was trying to hide it with, it kind of sounds Greek a little bit.
I can see that.
That in that episode, Loxana says she got it from her dad. But then you see in a couple of episodes where her dad, I think it was in Dark Page, there's a man playing her dad, but he has no accent at all. So it doesn't really follow.
Well, that could just be an inconsistency. Yeah, it's a continuity issue. No, I see that. But it's funny, though, that they even brought up Troy's accent, because we have audio of her talking in real life, and she definitely has an accent, a very distinctive accent that is
Cockney.
It's a very Cockney accent that is not, it's not like how she sounds.
Yeah, if you want to hear it, we have, just to refer back to that panel that we recorded from Comic-Con in Austin, it's a panel with Gates McFadden and Marina Sirtis in it, and we'll link to it in the show notes if you want to listen to it. It's a really good one, and Angela got to ask her question.
Yay! Yeah, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were so cool. I mean, she was really cool. Also, total off the subject, I found it very strange to hear Christian Bale in an interview. Have you ever heard him?
No.
He's British.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, in my head, but so many of his characters have been American or something else that I think that he's sending up a British accent when he's talking. It doesn't sound right.
you think he's acting whenever he's naturally speaking.
Oh, yeah, but you know it's natural because of the way he does it, but it sounds so weird because, like, the only movie I can think of him speaking like in an English accent, a British accent, is when he's a little kid in Empire of the Sun, something like that, and he's a British child. Anyway, but it's similar. It's kind of a thing where you hear someone talking in a certain accent for so long that it looks weird when they talk in their real accent.
That reminds me of Spike in Buffy, because I always thought he was English. The actor who plays him was English.
Oh, Wesley is also not English. Giles is, though, and there was, like, some interview where James Marsters, who plays Spike, basically says that his English accent is a copy of the guy who plays Giles' real voice. That's what he said. So anyway, that's funny. Anyway, sorry to talk about accents. Yeah, she's so cool, though. And what a good, it's good casting. And it's also cool that Loxana, you know, being Majel Barrett and having that place in the series, you know, that she has. Mm-hmm. And to have her as this special character in TNG and, of course, in DS9, as you said, it's so cool to just have her there as this kind of standing character. Tell me about her in DS9, though.
Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, in reference to that, I think she rivals Q in the recurring character that comes back that's not necessarily part of the main cast. They both have kind of a similar boldness, and they serve kind of a similar purpose.
Take
which
the
is
piss attitude. Take the piss out of everybody attitude.
Yeah, but they also have kind of a similar purpose into be the comedy relief. I don't know. I think they're both just as awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard. I mean, she's not really any kind of villain, although Q isn't technically a villain, but has a little more villain qualities.
Yeah.
Little more antagonistic qualities than Loxana
does.
True. But yeah, as far as presence,
she's antagonistic to Deanna and to Picard. So there's.
Yes, yes. Oh, poor Deanna.
Oh, I know.
Mothers and daughters, though, it is what it is.
Well, their relationship changes a little bit over the arc. She goes from being embarrassed by her mom, and every time they say, you know, your mother's coming aboard, she rolls her eyes. But I like that over the arc of Loxana's character, their relationship changed quite a bit in that it matured, you know, from teenager and mom relationship where the teenager is always embarrassed by the mom to more of a middle-aged woman taking care of an elderly parent kind of a relationship.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the circle of life.
Yeah,
right?
I like that, though. It's
parent,
more
the mother-daughter or the mother-child relationship, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely. Especially when Deanna discovers that she did have this sister she knew nothing about. And I think she learns more about her mom in that episode, you know, why she is the way she is.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
But speaking of Deep Space Nine, the arc continues as far as learning more about what makes Loxana. I never know. There's an L before the W. So is it Loxana or is it just the L silent? Loxana.
I think
you can't really
tell. I always kind of think I'm saying the L.
Loxana.
Loxana.
Yeah.
Okay. Oksana.
I just needed to ask.
That's always what I've always done. I don't know if that's true.
Me either. You just learn more and more about her. And I really love the Deep Space Nine episodes, especially The Forsaken and The Muse. I think The Muse is my favorite, which is the last episode she appears in. It covers her friendship with Odo. He's in charge of security on Deep Space Nine, and he's a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
If you have hangups about Deep Space Nine, you need to get over it and watch the series, because I know you're savoring your Trek that you haven't seen, but you need to start watching, because it is so good.
Like, I'm not doing anything, like, purposefully now.
Oh, I know,
it's more of
Make it a mission, like,
being able to, like, sit and watch anything.
I'm just saying, instead of watching one of those comedy shows, just, like, put on Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
So The Forsaken, I know, it gets me in the feels whenever I watch it, because Odo is really having, like, there's no one who he can connect with because he's so different.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, they get trapped in the elevator together, which is a nightmare to Odo, because Roxana's always had kind of an attraction for him, just like she did with Picard. And then he's trapped with her, and they kind of share the life stories together and why they feel the way they do. And it's a really good emotional episode that I thought, you know, everyone should see. If you love Roxana Troi, watch that episode. And also The Muse. I hate the main plot. There's this mysterious alien woman who is kind of like an energy vampire that sucks creative energy from Jake as he's writing. I hate that. It's creepy. She's much older than him, so it's kind of like a child predator. I just don't like that part of the episode. But the relationship with Roxana and Odo continues in this episode and is nicely wrapped up. They're buddies at this point. It seems like Odo's starting to feel something for her in a different way, other than just friends. You really need to see that one. It's a great episode. It's my favorite. I think I'm kind of taken over.
No, that's okay. I mean, you have seen more of the episodes more recently, so it's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in her as a general concept. So
maybe we should talk about our moms more
since
it is Mother's Day. And what kind of moms we are to our children.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Are you going to be a Roxana Troi too?
No, I mean, I'm
to Lorelai.
Not, I don't know. I'm not a Roxana Troi. I mean, some people may think that I would be, but I'm definitely not. I try not to be. I think every mom has a situation where they look around, they're like, I don't want to be that mom. Like, I don't want to be that mom, whatever that mom is to you, you know, in your mind. And I try my hardest, but sometimes it's hard because your kids are like, they're just so important and you want to do everything you can.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It sounds so silly. And there's like, you have to kind of fight the instinct to just like do everything for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm a relatively cool mom. That's a stupid thing to say. But also, I'm blessed with having a kid that, well, the first one anyway, who doesn't require, like, he can kind of be on his own a lot. Like, he's relatively easy, I guess, knock on wood so far, where I'm of the opinion in mom world that half of that is just how he is. You know, like, I don't take credit for all of it. I'll take credit for some of it because I feel like, you know, I've done some parenting, you know, but I also feel like some of it is just like, that's just how he was built. And so I just kind of let it ride. But I also, you know, I've told him on several occasions when he's in trouble, I say, you know, I'm going to be the first person to call you out. I'm going to be mean kind of, and I'm going to be strict, but you'll also never have a bigger cheerleader than me. I'm going to be on your side all the time. So that's where it kind of comes together. And I was telling someone, he actually, like, there was some, it wasn't bad. He like did something where he forgot to turn in an assignment at school. And I was so excited because like, I never get to parent him. I'm like, so let's talk about this assignment. Like, I actually get to do something active. So anyway, but the daughter, I mean, I guess we'll see, because having a toddler is very, that's a totally different world, as people know. As you remember, probably.
Yes.
You know, toddlers are just kind of their own thing, and it's just constant. It's constant and constant. And, you know, I think all mothers kind of feel like they're never doing enough. I don't feel like I'm doing enough, but I think they've turned out pretty good so far. What about you? What kind of mom are you?
My parents were really strict when I was growing up. Dave and I both were raised that way. And so we try to bring a little of that in without so much of, you know, overbearingness. My parents weren't overbearing, but my dad was more of a disciplinarian than my mom was. So yeah. I don't want to go that route completely with Aaron. And he's kind of a handful. He's a good kid, but he's the one that's climbing the tree and jumping off pretending he's Superman. He's the one that's going to be like, look, mom, no hands. You know, mm-hmm. He's the daredevil. He's super smart. And I'm constantly told by his teachers that he's above average, but he's also got that element of Captain Kirk. You know?
Yeah, he's a risk taker, which is, I think, like, it's because I literally have the exact opposite. You know, Russell's like the exact opposite. He's not a risk taker at all, which is good, you know, for safety reasons. But also, I have to push him. You know, there's a little bit of push there that has to happen when some things are, you know, a little bit different. When anything's a little bit different, it's so hard to get him to just go.
Yeah. And Aaron is, he's not shy. My mom had to push me like you're having to push Russell to go into a convenience store and talk to the cashier, you know, while she's sitting in the car. You know, this is in the country and everybody knows everybody. It's not dangerous. So,
right,
but
right.
I didn't want that experience of talking to someone, you know.
Oh, I see. That's funny you say that because I was the opposite. Like I would think of any excuse to get up in front of people or talk to people. I would always like stand on a table so I could be on the same level as adults, you know, when I was little. And just like talk and I yeah, just I was always what?
I could see that about you. I mean, I have always been friends with people like that.
Yeah.
Because I want to be that way. And people like you draw me out. And I'm thankful that my mom did that because I'm very socially functional because of my mom.
Yeah. And sometimes you do have to pull that out. I'm not as worried about my daughter, but she's very much more likely. She split her lip and like three times in the past four days.
Oh, she's going to be like Aaron Daredevil.
She's just everywhere. She just falls and climbs and yeah, she is. She's definitely just everywhere and into everything. And so definitely a different situation. I'm thankful that my mom, I was getting together some videos for my family the other day and I found this video of when I was like 16 and we were all at Christmas and I was just a bitch. Like I was... Like, I don't know that it's not like I was overtly being like actively mean, but just some of my interactions, some of the things I said, I was like, oh, my God, why didn't my mother slap me? Like the fact that she had the restraint to just think to herself, you know, she's a teenager and that's how they are, you know, like I'm sure that went through her head. I just thought to myself, you know, I hear it is on video for all time. And I'm just, you know, I'm being snarky, you know, and it's not even, like I said, it's not mean. It's just a little snark. And I'm just like, you shut your mouth, you little teenager. I'm like, my gosh, what? How did my parents practice so much restraint? But they did. Thank God they did. Because yeah. I think you have to go through that a little bit with, you know, certain personality types have to go through that.
It's boundary testing. And I think everyone to some degree does because even though I didn't get into a lot of trouble growing up because I was very concerned with following the rules and doing, you know, making sure that I made my parents proud and all that stuff. But I did go through that phase too where I, you know, was constantly trying to get away with things and well, that doesn't equal the same thing as some people. Like, my sister would sneak out of the house at midnight. Right. I didn't do that kind of stuff.
I didn't do anything like that either. Mine was just, like, pretty much from the time I could speak, the thing I got in trouble for the most was my mouth. Like,
yeah, me too.
I would run my mouth on whatever. Just, I would speak up too much or not the right way or... And I see that. I mean, I don't have any problem with what they had to do to be like, look, this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
You can't talk to people that way. But luckily, Russell's very, very respectful. He does have his moments, but I think that, you know, bringing it back full circle to the moms in general is that I think you feel like you can talk to your mom that way because she's going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, I don't know. I don't know how it is with your mom, but I think even now, like, of course I would never be snarky to my mother, but I feel like you can kind of be as, you can be whoever you are, you know, and I am so lucky. And I know that not everybody has that relationship with their mother. I do, and it sounds like you do, so it's good that you can. But I even, you know, even Lorelai now, she'll throw shade to me before she'll throw it to anybody else. Because she knows I'm gonna take care of her and love her.
Yeah.
Regardless of if she throws a cookie at me, that I'm still gonna pick her up and love on her if she falls and bites her lip again.
That is so true, because Aaron, everyone always tells me, oh, he's so helpful and he's such a sweet boy.
Yeah.
And he's so polite and he has great manners. And then at home, he's like giving me sass.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
lots of sass.
Where is this coming from? We're trying to nip that in the bud, because the last thing I want is a sassy teenager.
But it's
he's only
also,
six.
I don't know, but it's also like you said, it is also a sign of comfort in the home if you can do that. Like if your child feels comfortable to be able to test those boundaries around you, that means they feel safe. So that's good. It's worse the other way. You know, my mom has been a teacher. So my mom was like a mother to a bunch of people because she was a teacher, you know. She was like a professional mom. No. She taught first grade, and she said it's way worse when it's the other way around, where the kid's like a perfect angel at home and then comes to school to act out.
Yeah.
That's a totally different situation. So if he's acting out around you, I think that's good.
Probably. It's just hard. Ugh.
But I love my mother so much. She's just so cool. And my Oma, I can't forget Oma. My mom's mom is also for Mother's Day. I mean, she's Loxana. She is.
You're right.
She
except
is
without
way
the overtly
more,
sexual.
Like she's, yeah, except for the overtly sexual stuff, which, however, I did have a conversation with her at one point that where she told me about all of the, you know, how back in the day in the country, there's a lot of babies born in 6 months, if you know what I mean. And she used to tell me, and I'm not kidding, she said this with a straight face, she goes, "Well, Angela, it's a long ride back to the ranch from town." I was like, oh my gosh.
TMI.
So she's a little sassy too. I mean, there's a little bit of that.
You know, we should definitely get our Nana and our Oma. My Nana is Loxana Troy also. She is sassy.
And so how cool it is that she can be that way when she was in an era where women weren't, you know, I mean, she was not only the era, but she was on a farm, you know? And so here you are in this, you know, kind of very uptight situation. And somehow that personality just doesn't, you know, you can't be silenced with that kind of personality. You just are who you are, you know?
That's true.
And I think that's so cool. And so she passed that down to my mom, who definitely passed it down to me. And my aunt, too, and my sister. Like, we're all just, like, these very, you know, we are kind of little Loxana kind of women, I guess. So I guess I got to give it to Oma for being that. But also just, you know, it's because you have generous spirits. I think being like that is having a generous spirit. I know that sounds kind of
corny, not at all. I don't think so. But my Nana was a farm woman too. I mean, they grew peanuts, and so she was on a tractor 8 hours a day herself. And, you know, she's paying for that now because she has back issues because of that. But dude, that woman would she wore the pants.
Yeah.
she told everybody what to do. She was the boss lady, and she's still loud. And she's awesome. And yeah, she and my mom have shaped my lives quite a bit. And my sister too. She's been shaped by them. My sister is very bold because of that, but
she is.
Yeah. But back to kind of tie this in with Loxana. I made it a point to use little one as a term of endearment for Aaron when I found out I was pregnant. And he hates it. Mommy, I'm not little. I'm bigger than most of the kids and even kids older than me. And that's true. He is a very tall child for a 6-year-old. People think he's older. But he's
Russell
just
got very upset because now he's taller than a hobbit. So I told, yeah, we measured him because it was his birthday recently. And I was like, oh, you're taller than most hobbits now. And he was very upset.
Poor kid.
Oh, don't feel like he's embraced it. This is one of the things I feel like somehow we're doing. Okay,
no, I mean, poor that he doesn't have that to, you know, have as a badge of honor.
Well, you know, it's whatever. He's cool. He's cool. But he's really embraced who he is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he is different. He's smaller than the other kids. Mm-hmm. That's okay, though, because he just has, you know, he just owns it.
I want to bring up one thing about Aaron that is not typical. And I didn't realize, I didn't even imagine this could happen to him because of the type of the force of nature that he is, you know, just being the leader and everyone follows him. He is being bullied for.
Well, I think any kid can be bullied.
Well, he's being bullied by older kids because he plays Harry Potter with a nerdy kid at school on during recess.
Gosh.
The two of them are nerds playing like they're slaying dragons and they have magic wands. And the older kids, they're like one grade older, are picking on them. And I told them the other day, I was like, look, no fighting because he's just like, I would punch him in the nose. And I just told him like, no fighting. Unless they throw the first punch, then you take them down. Mom gives you permission. But I was like, the first rule of is that they're trying to ruffle your feathers. That is their goal, is just to see you get upset. If you don't give that to them, they lose interest and they go away. So ignore him. Pretend he's nothing. He's a nothing, you know? And so I didn't even imagine that. I mean, just because he's always been the one to, I was afraid would be a bully, but he's completely opposite of that. He's been,
I think that it can happen because I have to get on Russell a little bit for, I call it smart kid bullying because I've never gotten complaints from anyone, but I know that sometimes he will, because he, you know, he'll memorize just these facts about things and then he'll make, you know, like he'll make jokes about what is it, dihydrogen monoxide, water, it's water, and he'll like make jokes about it and then knowing that it's going to go over the head of other third graders, you know.
Yeah,
he'll make jokes like that and just think that he's funny, or even and I'm like, dude, there's other kinds of bullying than just being the big kid, you know, pushing the small kid on the playground.
Yeah.
There's other kinds of bullying. Like if you, you know, if you finish your math homework, you know, if you finish your math first and you act like a jerk about it, that's also, you know, it's there. He hasn't been. So, but I just, and I think that because I see him, like I said, since he acts out when he is kind of a little, you know, smart aleck, it's around me. So I have to be, so he'll be kind of like, duh, mommy. And I'm like, don't talk to people that way, dude. It's not cool. Nobody likes it. So, you know. But, I mean, I think it can happen to any kid, honestly. And it probably does. I think it happens to every kid.
Yeah, I was bullied.
Yeah, I mean, because kids are jerks.
Yes. Oh, my God. And junior high is the worst.
Oh, and junior high is the worst. I mean, I remember it not being as bad for boys, but of course I was a girl, so I don't know. I don't have any perspective except for talking to my brother about it, but, and my husband, but I don't know. I think boys, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I guess we'll know when we get there. I'm just expecting Russell to build a robot that accidentally hurts someone. That'll happen.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not joking.
I know you're not. I can see him doing that.
It's like, I'll show them. Oops.
Yeah. It has a chainsaw on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oy. No. Oy, they actually have a little robot team at their school.
That's awesome. Aaron's school does too. He wants to be on it so bad.
Yeah, yeah. They start that in fourth grade. And so we've been talking to his teacher about that. But that's cool. And so that's the other thing, too, is I'm the kind of mom that'll take you to see Guardians of the Galaxy and actually be more excited than you are seeing it. And I'm, you know, that's the thing. I think it's probably cool to have a nerdy mom sometimes for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, other moms can be supportive, but it's different to have a mom that's excited with you.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, that mom. All the other moms at the school know I'm that mom because I wear the Star Wars shirts and I have the Boba Fett purse that you gave me for Christmas that I carry
that's
proudly.
A cool purse.
I carry it proudly anywhere I go. And so I've just become, it's my thing. I've embraced it. And people can deal with it. I don't care. So, but,
it's
fine. I'm also the cool mom because of that. All the other boys love me, I think, because I connect with them in that way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's hard. Getting to know other moms when your kid's in school
is
like the hardest. I'll just put that out there. It is so hard. It is so hard.
It is because a lot of them are not like us.
Yeah.
At all. And so it's so uncomfortable to like find something to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so nice, but it's just not even the same wavelength. It's not.
Sure. And the thing is that, of course, y'all may think that I'm super talkative or whatever, which I am with my friends, but I really have a hard time around new people. I do. I don't know if it's old age or it's been part of my personality for a long time, but it's like, oh, getting to know new people is just hard. And so making that first step, because like if your kid wants to hang out with another kid, you have to like call their mom or talk to their mom. And
I hate that part.
And how do you know who this person is going to be? That's hard. I think my mom very rarely, pretty much until I was in middle school. I mean, I didn't really hang out with like any friends that were friends. I just hung out with people that she already knew. Which is kind of what I do to Russell, hanging out with Aaron and Sith Jen's little girl. You know, that's just kind of who they get to hang out with because that's what's available.
Because we are comfortable.
So. Yeah, exactly. And at this point, who cares? So
yeah. Dave takes Aaron to all the birthday parties because I'm like, look, I'm taking him to school. I'm taking him to all of his, whatever he wants to do. But birthday parties, out. I'm out.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I understand.
We kind of got off the Loxana Troy
subject. Yeah, we did, but we talked about being moms.
Nerdy moms. So,
nerdy moms.
It is
that's
applicable
totally,
to our podcast.
That's totally applicable. I agree. Happy Mother's Day.
So we both saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
and we
the first
loved
weekend.
It. Yes, opening day for me. And we will, as a bonus episode this month, be releasing... in like a couple of days, a Guardians of the Galaxy episode review. So, be looking for that in the next couple of days. And let us know if you enjoy anything that we do. We like to hear that. Let us know if you have any ideas for another episode. We're totally open to hearing your ideas. And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast and tell your friends about us. That's the thing that we really want you to do. We love ratings, we love email, but we really want you to share our podcast with your friends. The best way to do that is just click share on our show notes and post it on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. Pinterest. We love Pinterest. But
Pinterest.
If you have comments, you can definitely email us through our website at anomalypodcast.com. And be aware also that you can find an archive full of back episodes that are not available through our feed. We've had somebody recently join our Facebook group that asked, hey, where can I find all of your older episodes? Let us refer you to our website.
Yay,
there's a whole bunch
awesome.
Of stuff there. So make sure you check out our website for that kind of stuff. We have hundreds of episodes.
We do.
Anyway, you can email us there or by emailing us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or you can call our Google voicemail line at 432-363-4742. And it gives you about 3 minutes, and then it hangs up. If it hangs up on you, feel free to call back. We'll just splice the two comments together and make them one. So thank you to everyone who's sent us feedback and emails and tweets and Facebook posts. We really love hearing from you. It keeps us inspired and feels like people are listening and they like what we're doing. That makes us feel good. So do send us comments. We like that kind
yes.
of thing. Be sure to join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. The group is our forum. The page is just our, where we post memes like Wonder Woman Wednesday and Firefly Friday and just whatever strikes our fancy. But the group is where we interact with our listeners. And if you've tried to personally friend me on Facebook, don't feel bad if I don't friend you back. I've had a lot of people do that recently. It's just my policy. I've kind of had a cutoff of how many people I friend that I don't know personally. I interact with people in the Facebook group, so look up the Facebook group and I'll be glad to talk to you there. I just don't share my personal information with everybody anymore on Facebook, so don't feel bad. It's just my policy. Do you have any closing comments?
No, we are going to go see, speaking of Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, go see Wonder Woman. Excited.
Yeah, that'll be good. Russell really, like he told me the other day, today he said, Wonder Woman, I'm excited about Wonder Woman. I was like, awesome.
Yes.
That's a good boy.
Parenting done right. Aaron is really excited about it too. Every time I play a trailer, he runs over and he sits in my lap.
Uh-huh.
And he is looking forward to it as much as I am.
Cool.
I almost feel bad. We need to schedule a girls' night to go watch it, but I almost feel bad not taking the boys to watch it with us too. But
well, that'll be all right.
It'll be okay to watch. I'll watch it again. I think I can watch it again with them.
I think so too.
This has been the Anomaly Podcast. Wait, that's not how we end
the
show.
I'm Angela.
Let's do it again.
Okay. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com.
That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y.
Podcast.com.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.